great. I'm really excited. I love the questions. I was looking over some of those, and I'm really excited to talk. I like how direct and candid everybody's being.
Listen, they have a short and small opportunity to ask questions. So, you know, you're the expert, and they obviously loved listening to you from the interview that we did before a few weeks ago. So I'm really excited that you're going to be talking to me today, and I will contribute and help out wherever I can, but I consider you the expert on this stuff. But I would love if you could just give a little bit of background on, you know, who you are, why people should listen to you, and why sex is your specialty.
Sure. Well, I consider not just sex, but sensuality. Sensuality is really important. I consider myself a sensualist. And I think some people are naturally very sensual, and then some people need to work a little bit harder to achieve that level of sensuality. But it's extremely important. And it's missing from a lot of aspects of our society and also the porn that we watch, but that's another subject. My background, I've had a very high sex drive, and I've been very interested in exploring my body. And when I say sensual, I mean everything, the smell, the touch, the taste, like just sort of, you know, taking life in and taking your partner in and taking everything in a way that like hits you on a deeper level and is more intuitive. I started thinking about sexuality very early on, probably about 9 or 10 years old, and exploring my own body around the same time. And I'm bisexual, and those feelings started very early for me as well. And from high school, I would say about the time I was 15, I'm writing a lot.
Okay.
And writing is a huge outlet for me. It's my job, and it's also just who I am. So from my writing, I started exploring my sexuality more. And right now I'm a writer for Suicide Girls. I have a monthly column where I talk about issues that affect women in America. And it's sort of, I touch on a lot of other things. I mean, body image and advertising and current events and, you know, interviews with celebrities. But somehow, I think through that and the radio show, I have been dubbed like a sensuality expert, which is awesome because I never came across as saying that about myself, but it's something that listeners and readers and like my editor kind of was like, no.
You know what? You're an expert. Well, actually, before you go on any further, I did want you to maybe dive a little bit deeper into the differences between sexual and sensual, because sometimes I'm not even sure what the differences are. So I would love if you can explain.
Sure. I mean, in my opinion, okay, for example, if you're hooking up with a guy and his number one goal is to fuck you, then he's coming from a sexual place.
Okay.
But if he wants to explore your body and feel every dip and curve and smell you and touch you and, you know, and talk to you and hear your voice and look into your eyes, that's sensual.
Okay. Is that something that women like better or – Yeah, so how does that work? So is sexuality better or is sensuality better in terms of sex and women?
I personally feel that sensuality is really important to bring in. Obviously, women are going to differ in regard to what they want, but I would say like 80% or more of women want a sensual aspect because women are very sensual. I mean, we take baths and we light candles and the way that we enjoy our food and everything that we do, our perfumes and our clothes, like aesthetics, all of those things are really, really important to us. I think we're very sensual. So if a man is tapping into that part of himself, it also creates a level of trust and safety. Like, oh, this is somebody that actually wants to get to know me and my body, not just get inside my body and use me as a tool for an orgasm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So if can men be sensual with women without having to be in a relationship with them? Like for one night stands, can one night stands be sensual?
Definitely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And is that misleading to women or is it, you know, I guess because not the way that you're describing it, because I completely understand it, but I want everybody on the call to understand like the complete difference, because my brain's a little bit like fried today. The way that you're kind of describing it sounds a little bit lovingly. So is there a difference between making love and sensuality so that men can understand that they can still be sensual but not have to be committed?
Sure. I think there are two different things that are on the table with that. I'm a huge communicator. Mm-hmm. I think communication is really important. I think that there's no shame in anything that you want. So, I mean, assuming, we're all adults, assuming that everyone's an adult and it's mutual agreed upon thing and nobody's being hurt and nobody's underage.
okay.
And if they're hurt, then they want to be hurt, you know?
Exactly. and that's been communicated as well.
Relationship, or you want a casual sensual relationship, whatever it is that you want needs to be talked about before you have sex. If you're having sex and you're fucking so that the girl won't think that you love her or that there won't be strings attached, you're doing it wrong. Like, you need to find the girl that's okay with just fucking, and then when you fuck her, make it an incredible experience that she wants to repeat.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. So can I ask you a question about women and sensuality and women and sex? Because last time when you and I got together, we talked about getting women into the right mindset for sex, because you started off the call talking about mainstream media, body image issues, like all of these things are, a lot of women have to deal with them on a daily basis, not that they have to, but they do deal with them on a daily basis. And it does affect their sex lives in some way. And a lot of guys take it personally because they think that a woman's discomfort during sex is towards them. But I know that that's not true. Can you talk about that for a minute, just about the impact that the outside world has on women and sex?
Sure. I mean, it's a complicated, like, multi-layered issue. And I think as women, there's something, there's a huge paradigm shift that's happening right now. The pendulum sort of swinging to the other end. And I think that there are a lot of people that are confused, male and female, about what their role is. Like, I think guys don't have a clear-cut defined gender role like they did in the 1950s. That's not a bad thing. But I do think that there's a certain element always of hunter, of hunter and gather. Like, there's there always is, because our DNA hasn't changed all that much in the last, 10,000 years.
Yeah.
And women want to feel beautiful and they want to feel feminine, in regard to the effect that advertising has as well, it's not just body image, which we're so just, it's just like from the time we can remember, it's like dieting and looking a certain way and you're not good enough and you're not thin enough and all the rest of it. But there's also the whole Madonna whore complex that our society has because of religion, because of patriarchy, because of whatever. And I'm not wagging my finger at men about this. Women have to make a choice.
Right.
That they're either going to... They're not going to say, I'm a bad girl or I'm a good girl. I say, I'm a woman. I'm a lady. I'm somebody that has a whole spectrum of sexual choices, ideas, and desires. And if I'm a quote-unquote bad girl one day, well, the next day I want to be a princess, So
yeah.
It's very limiting, and it's a way to control people. Just like, convincing men that they need to make a certain amount of money is a way to control men. Like, mm-hmm. It's, your penis isn't big enough and you don't make enough money. It's the same thing for women. Like, you're not skinny enough and you're a slut. Like, all of that shit needs to go away. So I think the best, in short, the best way to help a woman is to not feel that way, to not echo those sentiments, and to make her feel beautiful and taken care of, even if it's just a sensual relationship. Those relationships can be so important. I've grown so much out of my relationships that were not necessarily boyfriend-girlfriend or girlfriend-girlfriend. They were just about healing and becoming more aware of what I desired in bed.
Okay. Can you actually walk me through what that looks like? So if a man were to, be out and meet a girl somewhere, what would it look like? Like, not what would he say, but what would the intention be behind what he's saying to a woman to help put her at that place of ease so that she doesn't feel judged or evaluated or, possibly shameful for doing something slutty? But how can he help her to be proud of what she's doing. Because that's pretty much what you're saying. It's like when you put a woman's mind at ease, her body is at ease instantly. But most men don't actually know how to put women at ease. So again, could you walk me through what it looks like?
That's a great question. I really think the first thing that men need to do is to discover, and I will answer your question, but the first thing is to not feel that way. So the first thing that guys need to do before, like, I'm not about acting and pretending, right, you know, as if. So if guys can take the time to examine whether they're looking at women in a Madonna whore way, whether they really believe that, like, they'll marry the good girl and then they'll fuck the bad girl, like, that kind of limited thinking is hurting women and it's hurting men, because men are getting married to who they think they're supposed to be married to, and then they're having affairs. And that's why one of the hugest reasons I believe that we're, like, a 51% divorce rate, like, people don't know what they want, and so they're kind of becoming the sheep, and they're doing what they think they're supposed to do for so long. So the first thing I would say was really examine what are your feelings about women's sexuality, and also be okay with whatever the answer is. Because if you really do think there's that good girl and there's the whore and you want the good girl, then fine, don't talk about it. Do it, right?
Right.
But if you can open up the parameters and the spectrum of women's sexuality and really understand, women want to explore for the most part. You know, I mean, I'm generalizing. I can't say every single woman, but my friends and the people I talk to, and I talk about sex a lot with people. It's just interesting. They want to explore. They explore masturbation. They want to explore mutual masturbation. They want to explore anal sex, like all these things, maybe even threesomes, like burlesque, like this and that. So, but how do we say that? What forum do we create? So I would say the best thing would be, like, discover how you feel about women's sexuality. And what I call it a fuck it list. Instead of a bucket list, it's a fuck it list. So
like
you
that.
Write, like, the top things that you want to do sexually, either by yourself or with, it's more fun with another person, of course. And, you know, even whatever it is, fucking an airplane, going to Amsterdam Red Light District and checking out the ladies in the window, like, whatever crazy fucked up thing that you want to explore. And then, you know, I've told people a few things on my fuck it list. And so, you know, that's fun. But anyway, getting the answer. So it's a deep question that you've just presented. But in regard to once you decide and determine, like, how you feel, assuming that you do think women are beautiful and multi-layered, I love when men compliment my spirit. They're just like, you have a beautiful way about you. You have a beautiful spirit. You seem like you know who you are. You're very confident. That's very attractive. You know, they compliment my hair. It's not just like, wow, you know, you've got, like,
you're nice great curves. Or you're hot, yeah, like, or, you know, exactly.
It's like, well, that's nice, and thank you. It's, you can never go wrong with, you know, complimenting my rack. But, like, if you see, if you're a sensual person and you see inside me, then I want to know more about you, you know?
No, I agree with that. And that's like just basic conversation skills as well. I teach something called listen, confirm, and affirm, which is like while you're having conversation to remember to listen to a person, confirm that you've heard them, and most importantly, to affirm them after they've said something that you can tell has been, you know, pretty valuable for them or of great importance. So you say to them in, you know, not using these specific words, but because of what you've said, I like you more. I find you intriguing. I like your spirit. I can see that there's something special about you. And then if you can expand on why you think those things, that's like really, for me, that's hitting my sensual points right there. That means that somebody can see within, you know, deep inside me, can see beyond the surface level and see something more than other people see. And that's what turns me on ultimately. But I did want to comment on one of the things that you said before about, you know, men seeing women in specific categories. I actually had that with my husband. When we first started dating, I had not just, but I had previously broken up with a boyfriend who had, I sadly was convinced that sex was horrible and that I was a monster because I was so open sexually that I completely closed off for about 2 years. And when I met my husband, he was actually the first person that I wanted to sleep with. after that 2-year window. And so we waited about 2 months to sleep with each other. And because of that, I think I put myself into that category of like what you were talking about before, the marrying type, or the, you know, take her out for dinner and treat her nicely. And sadly for me, because once I did get comfortable sexually, I really wanted to explore. And for him, he understood me in a very different sexual light. So it was always pleasant and nice and sweet and romantic. And yes, that's lovely and wonderful, and I welcome that. But I also want to be thrown up against a wall. I'm pretty assertive in my day-to-day life, and I want to be a little bit more submissive sometimes in the bedroom, and I would like somebody to be assertive with me. And for us to get to that place took some time because I felt that I had set myself up a certain way in the very beginning. But from what you're saying, if a man can see a woman as not just one thing or the other, but if he sees her as, you know, what is it, ebb and flow, like between all of these different dynamics, that's when you can really enhance your sexual and sensual life and your normal day-to-day life if you don't categorize a person as one specific thing.
Yes, everything you said, I completely understand. I think that there will always be a certain level to men, as long as we continue in the direction that we're going with society, of like the good girl waits a certain period of time and you have to invest in the good girl. The bad girl will give it up sooner and it isn't as big of an investment and isn't going to be the best mom for your kids. Like there's a certain level of, I mean, it's been going on for so long and it's reaffirmed by so many different facets of our life, you know, everything, our friends, society, religion, politics, like everything supports this. But that being said, I love what you said about, you know, by the time you're ready for your husband and yourself to explore those more kinkier aspects of your sexuality, the cool thing is that he knew you better, you knew him better, you were safer with him. There was like an unspoken, you know, body language that was happening between the two of you so that you could probably open up even more. So given that you waited a little bit of time to do that, I think is like awesome and a really smart choice. I like to tell people pretty early on that I'm a really modern girl with very sort of old-fashioned, chivalrous, courtship-loving values. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're just like, what? And it's like, basically, I'm not going to sleep with you right away, but I love being courted and I love being a lady and that will never change, but I'm very open sexually. And so I won't work that well, for example, with someone that's very traditional. Like I'm not going to work well with them and I don't even try anymore. Like I've tried a couple times, like it's not going to work. They're stuck in that Madonna whore thing. They want something different than what I provide and they can't provide me with the type of, vast sort of exploration that I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And for me, what it kind of comes down to too is energy. Like I love all the fun stuff and the toys and the spanking and all the rest of it. Like I love it. But like if it's just a guy that knows how to like fucking flip me and can be masculine and can also let me get on top and all the, like I don't need all the like kinks and tricks and things. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay, so let's take a step back before we get to that level, because I wanted to go back to walking through what it would look like if a guy was out somewhere, meets a girl for the night, and the first question that was on our list was how to make a move even when you're self-doubting. So it's like, how do you go from talking and having a really good time at a bar or on a date or at a coffee shop to moving it to that next level of either a kiss or getting sexual? Like how do you evaluate what a woman is open to during that time?
Great question. I like conversation. As I kind of mentioned before, I'm a big communicator and I think it's really important. Women love communication. I don't think it's about questions. I don't bombard a woman with questions because then it puts her in her mind and her headspace and then all that other shit comes into play with like, what should I do? What shouldn't I do? Like I wanted to hook up with this guy, but now I'm like up in my head and I'm thinking like I shouldn't do that. Cause that's not what like a good girl does. Cause women, PS, have that Madonna whore thing as well. So I think like creating a safe space, helping to convey that you understand that she is a whole person with or without you, that she has a rad life with or without you, but you would love to be part of that life, and you're willing to earn your way into that, you know, and that you have something of value to offer. And also another thing is that a lot of women feel shame for a lot of different reasons about things, about choices they've made in the past, about things that have happened to them. Women have a lot of shame. Men have shame as well, but just being that we're talking about women. So the more open-minded a man can come across and hopefully be, the better. So I love what you were saying before about, you know, somebody really being a good listener and being a detailed listener and affirming and confirming. Like, that shows that you're really, truly listening to me. And the worst thing that can happen is I'm telling a story or even just talking about something I really like or my day. And it's like, well, did you want to get another drink? Or so you live around here, and you're just like, wow, really, dude?
You're focusing on something else. You're not in the moment. You're not listening to me. So I want to just be more clear on the fact that this isn't all about, you know, falling in love and like you have to compliment and be really lovingly. There, you know, you can still be sexual and sensual. Without having to promise a commitment down the line. So let's say somebody didn't want to promise anything down the line, but he can still be a really present man who's able to take the lead. What, I don't want to say that there's rules because that's not the way that women work, that there isn't like, just put your hand here, then look up at her eyes and look at her mouth. Like, you know, I don't want to do that on this call. But if you can maybe give some guidance for things that could be signals to a woman that she would be open to, like, you know, brushing her hand or the side of her arm, like what sort of things take it from a friendly conversation to a more sexual conversation that you would be open to if that man was at first a present man who was able to connect? Because if you're not able to be that man, anything that you do, even if it is like proven by the top pickup artist and George Clooney and Brad Pitt and all these guys, like even if it's proven by them that it works every single time, it doesn't work if you don't have that connection and being present. So what are some things that men can do to show that they're sexually interested without pouncing on a woman and to take it to that next level?
Sure. And I don't think anything ever works 100%. Like, right. I don't even like Brad Pitt or George Clooney, to be honest with you.
Right. I just threw names out there. But even Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler. Let's toss that one out there. But you know what I'm saying.
In listing them, because they are the archetypes of the Lothario playboy guys that can get any woman and can, you know, absolutely without question, and I know I'm probably in the minority, but, like, as I kind of gain more access to men and I'm able to be blessed by like having awesome guys in my life and talking more to men, I'm so enamored with just real dudes, you know, real guys that can like be honest and sincere and actually make a commitment and like make a choice and take the reins. Like, to me, that's extremely sexy, more so than looks, more so than money, you know?
Well, I would say that's for most women. And for 100%, that's for most women. Because what I tell men is that women evaluate on very different levels than men do. We don't just say, oh, he's hot. Okay, I want to fuck him. We say he's hot. Okay, what else has he got for me? Like, when you are in a bar scenario and you are going to have a one-night stand, women do tend to be a little bit more superficial. They do want the exciting experience of somebody who's extremely sexual and sensual, good-looking. They sometimes don't need a lot more than that, so it is a bit more superficial. But for anything a little bit more than a one-night stand, not meaning commitment or serious relationship, they do tend to evaluate on a broader scale than men do. So it's not money and looks, just money and looks.
Yeah, I think men are extremely visual. And I think for women, what our desires are different beyond the one-night stand. In regard to answering your question about taking it to the next level, I think that's where sensuality comes in a lot. I love when guys tell me that I smell good, and that's always a great way to get in really close to a woman's neck.
Yeah, definitely.
And tell me I smell good, or they tell me that they really like my hair, can they touch it? And like anything that you can do to like get close and touch me, and if you agree with what I'm saying, and like you touch my arm or you touch my hand, I love when I'm walking in somewhere and a guy puts his hand
on your lower back.
Lower back and like kind of guides me in. That's really cool. Also, in walking through a club, like I love that guys want to be really gentlemanly and like have me walk first, but I don't want to walk first through a busy nightclub. Like I want you to lead.
Yeah.
So if a guy takes my hand and holds my hand and is like, I'm going to get us through here. So I guess being a gentleman, but also being assertive is really great.
No, I agree with that. Okay. So what about touching? Tell me more about touching. So are there areas that should be avoided? Are there areas, like if you, like to initiate in the very beginning, like if a guy just grabbed your crotch, would that be acceptable?
I guess it depends. It depends on where you are.
That's true. I guess that's very true. The typical, like, are there rules for how long to touch for how aggressively to touch? Like just some guidance. I don't, you know, again, it's not 100% every single time that these are the correct things to do. But for you as a woman, because I know the things that I like for touch. Like, I don't like when guys touch me for too long if I haven't formed some sort of rapport or connection with them yet. I find it very awkward and uncomfortable. I don't like if they touch me on my butt if I don't know them very well. Like, I had this guy, I was out on Halloween, and this guy came up to me to talk to me and, like, said something in my ear, and, like, right away, his hand went down my back onto my ass, and I grabbed his hand, and I said, don't do that. Please. First of all, I'm married, but don't do that. Like, and if I wasn't married, that would have been way too soon for that to happen. And I was pretty drunk as well. So, you know, like, I was very aware that that was inappropriate and, like, slimy, and I did not like it at all. He hadn't said more than two words to me, and I found it really disgusting. So I know that there are some guidelines to follow for touching to take it to that next level. So if you can help out.
Examples a lot, for sure, and I agree with them. Like, I'm all about the ass, but I don't want your hand on my ass unless it's invited.
Right.
Lower back is fine, and duration is important as well, like you said. I mean, I wouldn't touch someone's inner thigh. I wouldn't touch someone above their knee particularly. I mean, that, you know, maybe a couple inches, but not beyond that. I mean, don't, like, you know, sexually harass somebody, but just, I think it's more about you're gauging whether she is receptive. So for me, I love my neck being touched. I like my hair being touched. I think you can get to the place where you're touching her lips, but that's going to be right before you're ready to go in for the kill. So I would hold, that could be like your back pocket one. Let's see, other spots that are good. Hands are always good. Hands are really, really awesome.
And for how long? You had said duration before. Sorry to interrupt you, but you had said duration before. So are there guidelines for how long to touch for?
I would say like 3 to 5 seconds.
Okay. I would probably agree. I would say usually like 2 to 3 seconds in the very beginning, and then as you get closer to initiating something more sexual, I would have it for about 3 to 5 seconds, and like, you know, I'm like doing it right now as if you can see me, but I'm like, you know, with my fingertips touching the side of my arm and the side of my legs. You know, I love stuff like that where it's slow movements and light movements. And if somebody's making eye contact while they're doing that, then breaks away from eye contact to actually, you know, look at where his fingers are running, and it makes eye contact with me again. Like, I find that extremely sexy and attractive. And actually, I learned this one thing recently, and I tried it with my husband the other day. So once you have rapport with somebody already, or some sort of connection built with them, meaning that, you know that you're both attracted to one another, or at least you pretty much assume that you're both attracted to one another. And what you do is it's like looking at a person's lips. So you look, you make eye contact, you give like a small smirk, and then you look down at their lips for about 1 to 2 seconds, give another small smirk, and then slowly go back up to their eyes. And I had my husband do this to me, and I literally felt tingles all over. And we've been together for 7 years, but we were at dinner, and I said, can you just try something for me? Like, not even talking about anything sexual whatsoever. And he goes, yeah. And I gave him the guidelines of what to do. And he goes, okay. He turned away and he turned back and he did it. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I felt it literally rising like a butterfly inside me, like all through my stomach and my chest and my legs. And it was a very nice feeling to have. And all I wanted to do was lean forward and kiss him at that moment.
Absolutely. I love that. All of those subtleties are incredible. Eye contact is awesome. I mean, you don't want to do too much eye contact. Like, you don't want to weird anybody out. But what you're talking about is like connecting and then disconnecting, or not disconnecting, but sort of averting your eyes. And you're averting them to your lips. So it's like it couldn't get any better than that, you know?
Yeah.
It's very flirtatious. It's very sensual. It sounds amazing.
Yeah, no, it does. I have goosebumps right now. It feels really nice. So those are just some guidelines for people to follow for, you know, how to make that next move, how to escalate it or elevate it to – is that the right words? Whatever. Doesn't matter. You get what I'm saying. But take it to that next level to make that first move. But I think overall, to answer that question of how to make a move, even when you're self-doubting, is to take a second to get into your body if you are self-doubting and say what you want to do. Just be very direct with yourself on what you want to do and don't think about the outcome. And this will come over time with practice. You know, the first time it may take 5 seconds to get back into your body and be a little bit more present. And then, you know, as you continue to do practices like this, it will happen a lot faster. But literally check in with yourself for a moment and say, I want to kiss her right now. So you look, you make eye contact, look at her lips, maybe, you know, graze her arm a little bit, get closer, tell her she smells amazing, make eye contact with her again, and then lean in and go for the kiss.
I think that's great. I want to say one thing, which is that you want to feel, I love the idea of knowing what you want, of like taking that breath, calming down, just like asking yourself the question of what it is that you want, making that decision, and then moving forward. You have to feel it out with the woman. I mean, masculinity is really, really important, but you want to get into that zone where you're, like, feeling it and you're vibing that with her. And touch is a great way to figure out. Touch and smell are two huge ways to figure out whether you're going to have good chemistry together also in bed and just in general. So just because she's hot, it doesn't mean that it's going to feel good for you when you touch her or that she's going to smell good or any of those things. Like,
right,
the way that someone actually really, truly smells, not the perfume, but how they really, truly smell, if you don't like that, it's actually scientifically proven that there's a good chance your relationship is not going to work out.
Yeah, no, I know. Pheromones.
Yeah. Animalistically and just pheromones and all that stuff, there's a better chance if you like the way your partner naturally smells that you're going to be able to work through conflict. It's something about immune system.
Really?
Choose our partners that either have better or worse immune systems than our own. Women typically, I don't want to go into that whole thing. We could talk about it, but so it's that primal, you know, it's that carnal. So it's also about you, whether you as a man like what you feel and like what you smell and like, you know, it's not just about what you see and like conquering that person, because it's not about numbers. It's about the quality of the experience too.
Absolutely. And while you were talking, I just actually thought of another question to throw in there. You know, the debate about when a woman says no, that a lot of men have,
what
the debate is, does she, well, why does she say no if she really doesn't mean no? Or how do you know when she really means no? So I wanted to talk a bit about that, because I have some opinions on no, which are basically based in what you were talking about before with the Madonna and what is it? The Madonna and whore? Is that what it is?
Madonna whore.
Madonna whore debate. Because for me, like, if people hear that, they don't really know exactly what that means. So a lot of guys think that if a woman says no, you stop instantly. That's saying no in a very specific way, where they're like, no, yeah, I don't want anything. They tense up immediately. They're very verbal about not wanting anything. The no that other people talk about, which really kind of means yes, and I want people to be very careful with this one, is it's really the woman verbalizing her inner debate that's going on. Should I do this? Should I not do this? If I sleep with him on the first date, is he going to call me the next day? Is he going to like me? Am I going to be a slut for sleeping with him on the first day? It's like that inner debate that's going on. So if you could talk a little bit about that, maybe expand on what I was saying and maybe explain what the no actually means. That would be helpful.
Wow, that's incredible. You've had guys talk to you about this before?
Yeah, a lot of guys. Because a lot of guys are like, well, I don't understand. Like, why are women bitches? Why do they manipulate? Why do they test? Why do they say no if they don't really mean no? And why do they say yes if they really mean no? Like, they get very confused sometimes, which I understand. Yeah. It can be confusing.
I know that this isn't what people are going to want to hear, men or women, but I really feel that as a woman, I'm 33, I can honestly say that, like, the times that where I'm at now, I already know ahead of time what I want to do. I know if it's the first date or if it's the fifth date or we've been dating 1 month or whatever, I pretty much know what I want to do. I've explored sexually it to a level that I'm very comfortable, that I've had a lot of my fantasies fulfilled, and I'm not walking around like a throbbing, you know, lady boner.
Right.
It isn't in 24/7 because, I mean, I'm an extremely sexual person, but I can control myself. And I know that guys don't want to hear that because men have a huge sex drive. But what I'm going to say is that if she's so fucking racked with confusion, debate, and potential guilt, she is not going to be happy that she made that choice. If you're so self-doubting that you can't acquiesce to your sensual desires, then you don't want to do it. And then you're giving all the power to the man. And you're saying, here's the power and the lock and the key to my entire body, my self-esteem, everything else, the next week life, or I'm going to be crying in the kitchen and eating bonbons because you didn't fucking call me. It's so stupid. It's stupid for the guy. It's stupid for the girl. Make the choice that you're either going to be a sexually liberated woman and you're going to explore your sexuality with somebody that isn't going to fuck you over, or you're not. So bottom line, I mean, if she's hemming and hawing, yes, I agree. I agree with guys about this. If she's flirting with you and you're feeling her up and you're kind of going down and she's like, no, stop. But she's still kissing you and she's still allowing you to touch her. And then she's moving your hand up and then you're moving your hand down. I mean, it's tough. You want to get laid, and she kind of wants to do it, but she isn't sure. It's fun if you know each other and you know that it's fun if that's actually foreplay. Like, if that kind of role play thing is your consensual
let's say it's not foreplay, where, you know, that can get very confusing. How can a man put a woman at ease in that moment where she is having that inner debate? Because I'll tell another story I think people have heard it before. When I was younger, you know, when I was 19 or 20, I went backpacking. And I used to be a huge prude when I was younger. I had a lot of male friends who would just speak horribly about the girls that they would sleep with or fool around with, whatever. I never wanted to be one of those girls. So I went the opposite direction. I made guys jump through hurdles to be with me and sleep with me or whatever. So I became like the biggest prude in the entire world. And when I went backpacking, I always say I kissed my way up Australia because I wasn't doing anything else other than kissing people because I was so afraid to let them get any closer to me. But there was this one guy that I saw at a bar who seemed like he wasn't even attractive. He wasn't good looking, but there was something amazing about him. He was a definite leader. He was in charge of his group, but more importantly, he was enjoying the moment of where he was. He was having fun with his friends and providing a great time for the people around him, which I found super attractive. And at the end of the night, he came up to me. He talked to me for like literally 10 minutes, and we found out we were staying at the same hostel. We walked back to our hostel together, started fooling around with each other, went to my bed, and as soon as he wanted to go any further than, like, you know, just over the clothes and stuff and kissing, I tensed up right away, and he felt that. And he looked at me. He stopped, and he looked at me, and he said, "If there's anything that I'm doing that you're not comfortable with," he goes, "slap my hand." And he literally took my hand and slapped his hand, and he goes, "and I'll stop instantly." And that was my first one-night stand ever. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah, and so what, you know, that little inner debate. It's not a bad thing that a woman's doing to you, but she's saying, no, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do this. And it's like, you can feel her body tensing up and loosening up. And I don't want men to think that women are manipulators by doing this, because it's not. It's just discomfort on one end. And a way to put a woman's mind at ease is by letting her know that she has the option to do whatever she wants. She's in control of her sexuality and sensuality in that moment. And for me, him saying that to me really put me at ease. And for the first time, I would say, actually, I enjoyed the sexual experience. It was free and liberating and fun and really nice, actually.
I love that. I absolutely love that. I think that, I mean, bottom line, the woman is in charge. She's in charge of her body, and it's her choice how far she goes and what you do. I mean, men are at woman's mercy in regard to that. I mean, given if they're a good man, they're not going to, you
take
know,
advantage of it, yeah.
Sure, on you, but if you can, I mean, the more sensual you are, another thing is, like, the more at ease you're going to put a woman. If you're kissing her stomach and you're kissing her and you're kissing her lips a lot and you're touching her and you're tickling her, and all of these things are beautiful. I'm not even going to go to the place of if you're grabbing and groping and being obnoxious. Like, you don't deserve to be touching that woman. You need to slow it down, and you need to want to explore her body. I mean, honestly, going down and getting your way down to where you're eating her is going to be the best possible way to get yourself, like, to get entry. Like, if you can relax it to the point that you're doing oral, like, that's awesome.
Oh, my God, yeah, that's a huge thing. No, that's magnificent. Like, to put a woman's mind at ease. So this is like the general conversation and the general, not the general conversation, but the general lesson from this call before we get specifically into each question, because I wanted to go through the things that we said we would talk about, is if you can be present, I'm going to repeat it again. You can be present and you can be comfortable and you can be the leader without being the aggressive jerk. Then you can pretty much get whatever you want from a woman. That's my interpretation, because the guys that I have been with sexually, I never felt like an object. I always felt like I had the people who I had great sexual experiences with. The other people who I didn't have great sexual experiences with, I did feel objectified, and I did feel like a small nothing, and I did feel like I was being pressured into doing things that I didn't actually want to do, but I wasn't confident enough to say, I don't want to do these things. But yeah, the great sexual experiences that I've had have all been with men who are extremely present and know how to be sensual, where it's not about me being a whole. It's about me being a person and him being a person and us just enjoying each other together, whether it's for sex or for dating or for relationships, whatever it is, we enjoy each other and we have that communication, even if it's unspoken, that communication has already happened.
Yes. And I like the idea of, like, the person kind of, I love that idea of what the guy did in regard to that your first one-night stand experience. I mean, he took it to a level where it didn't even feel like a one-night stand, and that's the goal. You know, you don't want to come from a place of ego. You want to give that both parties are fulfilled and happy and smiling and feeling like they engaged in, like, the most awesome, archaic.
Yeah.
The natural thing that you can possibly do, and that you rocked her fucking world. And so to say to a woman, I want to explore your body, let me explore your body, is so different than saying, like, let me get a condom. It's just so fucking worlds apart, you know?
Oh, God, exactly. Like, actually, I have that sometimes. Like, in the beginning when I was with my husband, and we would be connected during sex, and then he would say to me, roll over. I would instantly disconnect. I'd be like, what? Why? Why don't you want to look at my face? What's wrong with my face? Like, does my body look bad from this angle? Like, honestly, because I was 23 when I met him. So I was still insecure and questioning my body and myself and our relationship in the beginning. And that made me feel very uncomfortable. And when I finally spoke up about it and said that to him, he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I was in the moment and I was just thinking about the great sexual experience, that it would be wonderful if you would roll over, we'd try different things. But he's like, I can definitely, you know, express myself more about why I want you to roll over. And so then he started expanding on his dirty talk. And he would say, oh my God, roll over. I want to see this. I want to see that. I want to see your sexy ass. Like, just like saying things that help put me more at ease and keep me in the moment. That really helped me get more comfortable so that it didn't take me away from what we were doing.
Absolutely. I think like 9 times out of 10, guys have no understanding of like, they're not coming from the place that women are coming from, which is like sometimes utter insecurity. Like,
yeah.
we've rolled down 10 different reasons of why we're not good enough, and that's why you want us to roll over. And the guy's like, I wanted to suck you from behind and feel that, and also you have a great ass. Like, it's rare that I think a guy, like, we think they're looking at our cellulite. It's like, no, they're not.
Right.
They're not.
No, they're not at all. And that's, like, I didn't realize that either.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What?
No, I didn't realize that either. I just instantly felt insecure because he wasn't, for me, I'm, you know, a little bit more vocal. So I need to know what his thought process is. So not that he has to sit me down and say, well, I would like you to roll over so that I can look at your nice ass while I'm, you know, I didn't want that, obviously. But I wanted a little bit more of an explanation. And once I did get that explanation, it was, yeah, exactly. But for the guys who are on the call, if the woman is not comfortable enough to ask, these are things to remember when you are being sexual and when you are with a naked woman who may have some insecurities. Another quick question that I wanted to bring up is, does size matter? Because this is one of the ones that were on our list. Does size matter?
Does size matter? Where is that on our list? I want to see which question is this.
Oh no! This is from what I sent out for questions that we would be talking about.
Oh, okay. It matters to some people, sure.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it doesn't matter. Sure, it matters to some women. Some women call themselves size queens. They identify themselves as size queens, and great, awesome. It's not about whether it's good or bad or enough or not enough. It's about compatibility. I personally don't like a really, really, really big dick. It doesn't feel good inside me. There's
no,
enough,
God,
like,
it's horrible. Sorry.
Horrible.
It is. It's horrible.
No, I have very specific things that I like and don't like, and that's one of them. Like, I've had a huge ass dick, and I don't like the way it looks. And no offense to guys with big ass dicks. There are so many women that love big, huge dicks. I think it's awesome that you can be hung like that. Personally, my vagina is not that. It's not. It's just, it hurts.
Yeah, no, I'm small too. So it hurts a lot.
It just hurts, and I can't. And I want to be able to suck it right, and I can't. I can't. You know. But there are women that can take it all the way down their throat and are, you know, belladonna, you know, proteges, and they want that big dick, and that's the only thing that makes them feel good. So it's just about, you know, what it is. I have plenty of girlfriends, and I wouldn't lie to you or your guys. I have plenty of girlfriends that straight up have told me they like small dicks, that it feels better to them. They don't want to, it hits them in the right place. They're not that into dicks that are bigger, like, for whatever reason. And I also think the size of a man's dick can sometimes affect how they walk through their life and their personality.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It's not just about, I mean, but yeah, just like a woman's rack, like, or something, or she has great hair or great eyes or whatever it is. Like, there's certain things about people that for whatever reason, it affects their confidence, it affects their swagger, you know, any of those things. So.
Mm-hmm. I have this thing that I call hot guy syndrome. So it's for guys who were like hotter when they were younger, who never had to develop a personality, and then they're screwed later on in life because then, you know, when they get to hang out with women who are 25 and over, who suddenly, you know, personality is actually important to them and having some sort of character is important. Being good looking and pretty isn't, you know, it's being good looking and pretty. It's your foot in the door, but it won't get you any further. It's the same thing with guys with big penises. So when they're younger, you know, having a big penis is the thing to be talked about in high school or something, or like your guy friends really pump you up because you have a big penis. But a lot of guys don't actually learn how to use their penis properly just because they have a big penis. And because girls are more inexperienced when they're younger, where sex is sometimes just in and out, they don't ever learn how to do other things or how to be a better lover. So I think that sometimes it can actually hurt guys to simply just have a big penis, because just because you have a big penis doesn't mean that you know how to use it properly.
That's a great point. I have had experiences with guys that had smaller dicks that were awesome at going down, or they have problems having erections,
yeah.
And they were so much more devoted to my pleasure. I think that that's a huge one. So whatever your size is, no pun intended about it being a huge one, whatever your size is, it's about connection, and it's about self-confidence, and it's about exploring the woman's body and making sure that she's happy and you're happy. You know, so I think that finding that happy place, that cozy place where you're confident in your body, and look, we're not all fucking supermodels, and it is what it is.
Right.
But if you can love your body the most that you possibly can, and realize that you're a gift to whomever you're going to share your body with, then you're just that much more ahead of the game.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. It comes down to confidence and comfort, which I think is a great message. So let's go through. There were some questions that were sent in by guys before I go to that other list, just to like try and not keep these short, obviously, but concise and give the answers that they're looking for. Because I know that we're women, so we tend to go on and on and on sometimes. But because I think that a lot of guys just want like straight answers. So let's go to question number one. What is pressure anxiety and why does it happen?
I love that question. Pressure anxiety, in my opinion, is a couple things. Guys are awesome in the fact that they really want to provide a great experience for a woman for the most part. So I think there's a nervousness about, am I going to be able to provide this awesome experience for her? Number two, there's a huge, huge weight on men societally that they have to be these freaking studs in the bedroom. They have to last a long time. They have to have a good sized penis. They have to know what they're doing. They have to take care of a woman's orgasm as well. There's like all this stuff that they supposedly have to do in order to be like these supermen in the bedroom. So performance anxiety is the accumulation of not only your own anxiety, but like external anxiety. I think that you just like take a deep breath and realize that a woman is also responsible for her own orgasm and for communicating with you about what feels right and doesn't feel right. And women are also responsible for knowing what the ins and outs of their body. So again, getting away from that Madonna horror stuff about masturbation being bad and toys being bad and all the rest of it. I think if you're open to discovering what makes her orgasm before you're having the sex, or if it's a one night stand, like at least locating her clit, talking to her, putting her hand on her clit if you need to, like see how she does it when she masturbates, like all those things to kind of like make sure that she's also party to it, because it's not just about you coming, it's also about her being in on the experience with you. And it doesn't mean that you or she is going to come every time, because you probably, it doesn't mean that you will. And a lot of times women don't, and that's okay. And it doesn't mean that she didn't have a great journey and a great experience with you, or that you didn't provide something fucking awesome. But so I guess the answer is like, it happens and it's natural, but it's also something that you can just go, okay, I have a little bit of butterflies and I'm kind of nervous. Like I'm going to go out on stage right now and that's okay. I'll probably kick ass.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing to add on to that, because the last part of the question is, how can it be overcome so it does not happen? The thing is that it might happen. You have to be okay with the fact that you may have some anxiety, exactly as Dara just said. And also, as Dara said, communication is key. You can make communication super sexy. So whether it's for a one-night stand or if it's for somebody that you've been dating or somebody you're in a relationship with, you have to remember that you're not in this alone. And you can literally say to a woman, show me what you like. Take my hand and like literally walk her through it and say, take my hand, show me how you want to be touched. You don't know each other yet. You're not supposed to be a mind reader who understands her body. And you can give her permission to tell her what she likes, you know, and she'll tell you those things. And if you've done a really good job at creating a connection before you're in the bedroom, it'll be much easier for her to communicate with you, or at least show you what she wants. And I think that can help put it at ease, remembering that you're not in this alone. You don't have to be the master in the bedroom. You can both master the bedroom together.
Agreed.
Okay, good. Definitely. All right. And then I'm sorry, I'm jumping back and forth because some of the questions happen to go together. So questions to ask to discover her erogenous zones.
Yeah.
You're like, yes, mean? Ask them. Okay, what are some questions? Maybe. What are some questions to ask to discover her erogenous zones?
I love the question, does this feel good? That's a great question. That's just my favorite. Mm-hmm. Hang on one second. I just wanted to get myself off speaker. I'm getting so excited. I like when someone goes really slow and calm and keeps, like, I need to be in a calm space in order to orgasm, right? And I think a lot of guys want a mirror, a vibrator, either with their hands or their tongues. And some chicks like that, and that's great. But I like it when somebody goes slow and just starts slow and is like, does this feel good? I think just physically exploring her body with your hands and your lips, going slow and having confidence and being okay to take your time. One of the biggest things that makes women not come is this pressure to come as fast as men do.
Yeah.
It takes women on the average 16 to 20 minutes to orgasm.
Really?
So, and I know there's one of those, I saw one of the questions about vaginal orgasms and all and penetrating, but in regard to like clitoral stimulation, if a woman can come from you going down, it takes about on average 16 to 20 minutes. So
that makes me feel better. Thank you.
Yes. Take your time. Yeah, right? And it's not going to happen every time. It doesn't happen every time. Like, so be okay with that, too, because I think some guys think they failed, and then they're, like, they're feeling shitty. Like, obviously, you're going to want to try. Right. Not like, oh, you can't? Okay, well, that's normal. Yeah. But, like, just, you know, not pressure to come and not pressure to be fast about it.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah,
okay.
But exploring and asking as you do.
Exploring and asking, but not over-asking. So there's different things. So like, you know, if you're having a one night stand, I would say in the moment in the bedroom, you can explore with just doing the actions and then saying, does this feel good? You know, some sort of teasing. And like, if you, you know, touch her in a certain spot, you can kiss her in a certain spot. You can do a whole bunch of things to a different spot and see what she likes better. So you know how women, I guess it's gyrate. Like for me, when I like something, I show that I like it with my body. I'll moan and I'll move my body. If I'm not into something, I'll lie still. Those are my subtle movements that
breathing
I do to show I
and
like something.
Like little, yes. And breath and moaning.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, that's my sexy way of saying, yes, I like it. Keep doing that. And maybe, you know, continue doing that, maybe explore other areas, but that's the way that I signal that I like those things. But if you're, you know, dating somebody, you can have conversations outside of the bedroom as well and just say, you know, what are things, or I'm trying to think of a sexy way to bring it up and just say, you know what, last night I really liked when I did this to you, when I stroked the back of your neck while you're having sex, and I noticed that you moaned in a certain way. Did you like that? And she can tell you, yeah, absolutely, I love that. You know, and then probably if she's comfortable enough, she'll expand and tell you other things that she liked. So if you can actually listen to what she's saying to you, repeat that you've heard what she's said to you, and then continue to do it in the bedroom, and then if you can, expand on that idea so that it's taking what she likes and then still being adventurous, I would say that would be a great way to discover her erogenous zones that she may not even know of yet.
Yes. I love when people ask what my favorite part of my body to be touched is.
Ooh, okay. I like that too, actually.
You know, or if someone says, I really like the curve in your waist. Do you like that to be touched? And then they touch it. You know, it's like a good segue.
I like that.
Yeah.
I definitely do. So let's get on to that other question. So this is the question. Do you think that all women can have vaginal orgasms? I mean vaginal orgasms as in orgasms from penetration as opposed to clitoral orgasms, which require direct clitoral stimulation via rubbing, etc. do you think that all women have or can have vaginal orgasms?
women can have both or either.
Okay.
So some women, I can have both, but they feel different. I didn't even know that I used to be able to I didn't even know that I was having, like, an orgasm from penetration, because it was so much different than clitoral stimulation orgasms, that I only discovered it through masturbation with a sex toy penetrating.
Really?
And realized that I was actually orgasming, and that was what I was doing with the guys. I didn't know, because I would get really wet, and it would feel really, like, numb and sort of, like, different, and, like, and the guy would be like, did you come? And I'm like, I don't think so. Like, I didn't know that
maybe.
I had, because it's so different.
It does feel so different. I actually hadn't had an internal vaginal orgasm until this year.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Well,
and
number
how did you know you had it?
How did I know? Well, it felt very different. It felt really, really different. I've also become much more open sexually in the past few years, and, like, much more comfortable sexually. So I think, like, by me exploring and experimenting, it's definitely opened me up to be more comfortable to the idea of having a vaginal orgasm. I was, like, before, I would always focus on it, and I wanted it to happen. And then I never really, I guess, knew if it was happening, so it would kind of take away from it. But, yeah. Maybe it's been like a year and a half now. But yeah, only in the last year and a half have I started. And they're not consistent. I don't have them consistently. I mainly have clitoral orgasms. So.
Yeah, and if someone's like penetrating you and they're stimulating your clit, like, it's hard to tell which one you had and what caused what, but it is really kind of awesome.
Yeah, but I know a lot of girls who haven't had, I call them internal, so vaginal or internal orgasms. I know a lot of girls who haven't. I actually even know some girls who have never had an orgasm. And who are in their 30s.
I know women that haven't.
Yeah, who have had lots of partners as well.
It's just a sad, sad thing to hear.
Yeah, no, I know. I think, but I ultimately think it's comfort levels, and it's about somebody paying attention to them and being part of the sexual experience with them. So, you know, some girls don't have that experience. So to answer the question, do you think that all women can have vaginal orgasms? You said pretty much absolutely, right?
Can all women have that? Not every woman can. I have no idea whether every single woman can have an orgasm through penetration. Versus some women can have both and some women can have either. I have a friend that can only have it through penetration and cannot have a clitoral orgasm.
Yeah, I know people who are like that as well, actually. Yeah, so it's very different. So as you can see from our responses, it's very, very different. So I think...
But I would say involve yourself with her clit as soon as possible. Get to know it. And women, masturbate and get to know your body, because if you know your body and you know what you like and your pleasure is a priority for you as a woman, you're not going to choose the shitty guy that is fucking you, that doesn't know your body and only cares about his own pleasure. You knowing your body is about you valuing yourself as something that's important and sacred, and making the choice in the partner that also values you as important and sacred.
Great. No, I love what you just said. So let's go to the next question. Just had my prostate out and will not have an erection for some time, maybe never. How much will that matter to a great woman?
How much will that matter to a great woman? That the way that question is framed is really interesting to me. It sounds like you want a great woman that isn't going to mind, and so you're defining her greatness by not minding. And if that is the goal, then you're going to find a woman that doesn't matter to, and she'll be your great, lovely lady.
Right.
Does it matter to some women? Yes.
Absolutely.
Plenty of women out there that are not going to mind? Yes. I have hooked up with a couple guys that had the same situation. They did come. They did orgasm. We did other things, and it was fun, and it was different, and I understood, and I was nurturing, and it was sexy, and that's fine. Like, there's people with all kinds of different situations in their lives, both physical as well as emotional, and I think the more patient and understanding we can be with each other, and finding, again, compatible partners, If you find a woman that penetration and a hard, rock-hard dick is really, really important to you, and you're trying to, like, win her over and validate yourself, then no, you're not going to have great experiences, and she's not going to be your great lady. It's not because she isn't great, but it's because what she's looking for is incompatible with what you're needing.
So
I think, don't trap yourself.
Right.
Like, just
good, very good
what
answer.
You're looking for.
Very good answer. So let's ask more specifically, like, let's say, you're not trying to find a great woman. You're just trying to have sex. Okay. And does it matter? Like, what do you do if you just had your prostate out and you have difficulty having an erection? Cause I know that for a woman who doesn't really know you that well yet, who's not connected to you and can't say, oh, well, he was hard 8 other times. So, maybe today he's just off or what. There can't be excuses or justifications that are made in your head because you know the person well. So if you don't know the person that well and you're having sex and he's not getting hard, what can that do to a woman? And because I know that for some women, if things aren't communicated beforehand or during sex, I know that I would get insecure if I was with a guy and he wasn't getting hard and he didn't tell me before that he had his prostate out or that he may have difficulty having an erection, but he's still having a great time. That would mean that I wasn't attractive. I wasn't sexy. I wasn't turning him on. So I would assume that yes, a lot of women would have the same thing and we can all love her and cherish our bodies. But if, we're being real, a lot of people are not as developed. So in that moment, they may feel insecure on the woman's side and the man may be embarrassed. So what's a way that a man can communicate to a woman that he doesn't know so well that he may have issues in the bedroom?
I think it's really important to be honest about your situation. So if you can't get an erection, i.e. you cannot penetrate a woman, right?
Right.
Then I would, it's like a multi-layered question. If you're looking for a dating relationship, you don't have to drop that on the table, in my opinion, on the first date. I would say that you can talk about this as things progress, and it's up to you. You want to call on the third date, the fourth date, the fifth date, but I would not wait until you're naked in bed with somebody to let them know something at all. I mean, in general, I wouldn't be naked in bed with someone and then tell them I don't want to have sex. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think it's important to, like, when I was told was when we were hooking up and I was going to give the person a handjob. So he let me know, like, this feels awesome, but I actually have my prostate out, so I'm not going to get an erection, but I can come. So I was like, okay. So it's like communicated with me clearly that, like, I have, and I'm not super insecure about if someone has a problem. Like, I had somebody that it was on medication, antidepressants, and it made it so that, like, he could get hard for, like, 5 seconds or something, or like
right.
a few minutes, really, it probably was. And then it would go down. So we would, like, fuck for a few minutes when he could get hard. I'm down with trying new things, but I just communicate with somebody because some people are insecure and they will feel like, and then if guys are lying, I'm like, oh, this never happens. And like, don't make people feel like shit, woman or man,
Right.
So, I would say be honest about it. I have no idea if there is anything medically that can be done in regard, because there are like pumps and things. I would talk to your doctor and see if there's anything that can be done if intercourse is very important to you. If that's not an option, then I would say, be really invested in exploring a woman's body and having your body explored, because you're not any less of a man or any less important. Your desires are not any less valid than they were before.
Right.
So finding someone that's sensitive and nurturing and invested in you, I would say would be awesome. If you're just looking for kind of a quickie or, one night experience, it'll be different than what you're used to, but it's not to say it can't happen.
But, you actually really pointed out something really interesting, because you said that when a man did communicate these things to you, and what I'm hearing is that he just said to you straight out, he's like, this is me, and this is what's going on here, I'm having a really good time, I'm enjoying this, but I'm not going to get hard. Like, you were okay with that, and you were like, all right, let's enjoy ourselves then. I'm on board with this as well. Let's do other things. So ultimately what I'm hearing you say is that it's okay. Like, if you are comfortable with a woman and you communicate, like, none of that insecurity can pop up. Because I feel like insecurity and embarrassment and all of that stuff pops up when things aren't being said. But when things are being said and they're out in the open and there isn't, like, all this pressure on them, then you can be free to be comforting and caregiving as a woman, and to not be, you know, dragged down emotionally by somebody's insecurities, and you can still have a really freaking good time.
Absolutely agreed. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's not to say that nobody's ever going to come across somebody that's close to them. It's, you know, it's not to say that you're gonna tell somebody that and their response is gonna be, you know, is always gonna be fantastic. It might be less than savory, you know, and that's gonna happen. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't be honest. Very much about honesty and the truth will set you free and being who you are. That doesn't mean you have to tell everybody. It doesn't mean you have to go on Facebook about it, about right. anything. I'm not talking about just in, you know, flaccid. Your situation. Like, yeah, like, just in general, like, I think the more we can be honest about who we are and what we want and what we've been through and taking shame out of it.
Yeah.
You know, just say it. We're opening doors for other people to free themselves too, you know?
Exactly. And I completely agree, because no matter what, everybody has insecurities in the bedroom. There's always something, but if you're free and you can express it and you're okay with it, then it makes them more comfortable. I want to get through these other questions because we're going a little bit long now. So sorry if I feel like I'm racing you. But one of the questions is, what to do after you finish? For men. Guidance for men. Yeah. Run out of there as fast as you can.
What did you say?
I said run out of there as fast as you can. That will.
I know, right? Don't let the door slam on your ass on the way out.
Exactly.
You know, I personally, I mean, how detailed do you want me to be?
As detailed as possible.
Okay, because there's different scenarios of different things that people want to do, and I'm being extremely graphic. When I wrote that, I meant, like, after you come into that condom, what are you going to do?
Like, that's actually what I meant. I thought you meant, like, okay. Yeah, well, like, I thought you meant, like, do you comfort the woman? Do you cuddle? Do you have to cuddle? Can you just, like, get up and leave? Can you go wipe yourself off?
Yeah, all of that. Like,
okay,
all
done.
Of that.
Yeah,
in,
explain,
like,
all of it.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page.
Yeah, okay, bring it on.
Well, okay, obviously, like, I don't want to take, like, I think this is the first time I'm actually getting embarrassed.
I know, I can hear
it. I don't
want to
take
weird.
Off your condom. Yes. So I've had guys literally put their dick out, like, here, like I'm supposed to take the condom off. Like, I don't want to take the condom off, and I don't want to drop your cum all over my bed. Like, so take the condom off yourself, like, go in the bathroom and take it off yourself.
Absolutely.
And tie it up in a knot and put it in the trash. Like, I don't want to say the flush down the toilet because it goes in the ocean. So there's the eco-friendly lady in me. And then, yes, come back and do kisses and cuddles. And, like, even if it's a one-night stand, like, don't jump, don't put your pants on, like, right away.
Right.
I know it depends on the women. Some women get energy. Like, sometimes I get energy after sex and I want to get up and do stuff. But for the most part, like, I would definitely have some physical attention and affection and cuddle. And it doesn't have to be crazy, like, intimacy that you would have with somebody that you loved, your girlfriend or your wife or whatever, you know. But yeah, to that degree. So that's what I meant. Like, cause some people, they really don't know what to do, or, like, should I leave right away?
Yeah.
I would say if you're a guy, at least put forth the action and effort that you will cuddle for a few minutes, and then giving her that option. Like, be a gentleman about it. You know, you're just inside of her, like, a minute
exactly.
ago.
Stay for a few minutes. Enjoy. I completely agree with you. How to talk about safe sex.
Yeah. I'm a big proponent of safe sex. It's hugely important, and I've educated myself a lot in regard to STDs. And as I mentioned, I'm bisexual, so there's a lot of there's actually I can honestly say this in my experience, there's been more conversation about safe sex in lesbian relationships than I have had in straight relationships.
Really?
Or relationships that I've had when I've been with men. Men, for whatever reason, and I get it, it feels awesome and you want to go bareback and everything else, but, like, there's real stuff out there that you do not want to deal with. And if you are there's nothing. If you plan on fucking one person or 20 people, like, it's not just a numbers game. Like, it's not just about, you know, if you have sex with a lot of people, then, you know, yes, of course, then your odds are greater. But all you need is that one person that has one thing, and then you have something.
Yeah,
there's
absolutely
a separate conversation that we can have next time about if you do have an STD and what to do, because your life is not over, and there are conversations. Those are different conversations. But in regard to safe sex, whether you have something in fact or don't have something, like, use a condom, and if she's on birth control, that's fantastic. But until she's had all of her tests and you've had all of your tests and you're in a monogamous relationship, you need to use a condom, period, end of story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, then let's answer this question on the flip side. So let's say you do have something. Let's say somebody just wrote into me recently because HPV is really big right now. So let's say somebody does have something. When do you bring that up? How do you bring that up? And, you know, then you can talk about safe sex, obviously, but how do you bring that up to a person that you, like, for guys, like, how do they bring up, I have genital warts, or I have HPV, or I have gonorrhea, or something, you know, in the very beginning part before they sleep with each other so that it doesn't scare women off?
Yeah, HPV has always been a huge issue. It's just now that it's getting nationwide attention and the vaccines come out for, you know, boys and girls, but HPV has always been a huge problem. And in fact, 60% of women have had or will have HPV at some point in their body, at some point in their life. There's many different strains. There's over a dozen strains of HPV, and some of them will, a lot of them will work their way through your body, and there are ones that won't. And so the one, you know, obviously it can cause cervical cancer and it can cause genital warts, and there's different ones. The one that causes cervical cancer is not the strain that causes genital warts.
Right.
Anyway, that being said, I was just reading in the Jezebel, it's an online feminist magazine, and it was talking specifically about that. If you have HPV, do you talk to your partner about it? And the reason that there's a debate is because it's so prevalent, and because so many people have it, and or have had it at some point in their life, it's almost a thing there, that there was even a question of, do I say it, because so many people will come across it, and a lot of, it's a huge issue in college campuses. There is a certain age that it's higher that you're going to come across it, you know,
right,
like 16 to 24 or whatever. But there are people that are going to have it or have had it. It can be latent, and it can, you know, start up later on. The point is, you need to get your test. You need to find out what you have, and you and I don't. That it's such a personal choice. If you want to tell somebody, I have herpes or I have HPV, I would say yes. I personally would want to be informed if somebody had something, so that we could take the proper precautions, so that we could have a sexual relationship that everyone feels comfortable and safe in. You also want to give someone the option to opt out. You have to. It's a moral.
Yeah, of course.
I do think that there is a moral obligation that if you have something that you can transmit to somebody else, then you need to tell them about it. And certainly if you have HIV or you have,
oh my God, yes,
you know, Hep C, then you have that responsibility and obligation. You asked about gonorrhea. If you have gonorrhea or chlamydia or syphilis, syphilis is less common. But if you have any kind of infection, you should not be having sex until you've had that treated. So if you know that you have something, don't have sex until you have finished your round of antibiotics and you're done, even with a condom. You don't want to do anything oral, or you're not even supposed to have penetration if you have one of those infections.
Okay. And then how soon do you bring this up to somebody? Because, you know, it wouldn't be something I would bring up on a first date, but how soon do you? To ensure not the best response, but, like, you know, like when if I'm dating a guy, you know, it obviously depends how invested I am. But if I, you know, if I'm on my second date and he says, listen, I have to tell you that I have HPV or I have genital warts or something, I think, like, for certain guys, if I wasn't really connected to them at that point, that would be my get out now trigger. But if I was really invested with them and I was like, no, I really like this guy, he's really great, I haven't met a great guy like this in a long time, and I felt some sort of connection, I think that I would be able, if it was presented to me in the right way, where was matter of fact, it's here are the details, I'm just being honest with you, rather than, oh, I have to tell you something, it's really horrible, blah, blah, blah. I think I would be okay with it, and I would mm-hmm. work with that situation and try and find solutions so that we can have sex.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm not a doctor, so all right. You know, if people have these questions or they have some sort of infection or they have symptoms or anything, and they should definitely talk to their doctor. In regard to, like, just dating-wise and telling people, I'm fairly open about the fact that I have safe sex. Like, I believe in it. I think it's really, really important. And I also force my partners to get tested before I have sex with them and before I enter a relationship with them. And I don't want to say force, I give them the opportunity as well as I do. You must. And that's really, really important to me. So I think the thing too is about women and men taking responsibility over their own bodies so that you don't become a victim. As much as you possibly can without becoming a victim. So that being said, if you have something, I mean, there's two different questions that are coming up. When do you tell someone you have safe sex? I don't know. Whenever you want to tell them that, whenever it's appropriate, you can let them know that you have safe sex. I mean, I've literally told people I have safe sex, and it's been a turnoff to them. So I was glad that I told them because then I knew they're having unprotected sex with other partners. They're not being safe. And it was like, you're confounding.
Exactly.
You know, there's my point right there. So if you have something, I wouldn't say it on the first date. I wouldn't necessarily say it on the second date. I think if you are vibing with somebody and you're getting to the place where you're going to be sexually active with them, that's when I would tell them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I completely agree with that. Yes. Full-heartedly agree with that comment. I just had to think about it for a second. But yes, absolutely.
And I think, like, we need to take the shame and stigma out of that as well. I mean, I'm big on, like, removing the shame. A lot of people have STDs. A lot of people are having sex. And these things have existed for a really long time. So it's not like you're this awful person, you're never going to get laid, and you're never going to be in a relationship, and nobody's going to love you. Like, there are all these different levels, I'm sure, that one would go through if they found out that they had something. But there are a lot of people that want to be loved and want to give love. And there are so many options with dental dams, condoms, and all the rest of it. So there's happy, lovely sex out there.
you're not screwed. Don't worry if you do have anything. You're fine. You will get screwed, actually. So last question, and then I'm going to wrap up this call, is how to last longer in bed. I actually have a video about this, about Kegel exercises. I do, about Kegel exercises. But yeah, so what do you think about how to last longer in bed?
You're talking about Kegel exercises, you mean for men?
Yeah. On askmen.com, I have all these videos up, like these sex videos. They asked me, they said, oh, sex therapists are too technical. Do you want to talk about these things? So I was like, yes, absolutely. And so I did one video on how to last longer and do Kegel exercises because I myself didn't know that men could do them the same, but I didn't, you know, some research obviously before because I do them for myself. But yeah, they were talking about that you should be starting off with about 25 Kegel exercises every single day. You want to hold your like P muscle is what I call it because that's the easiest way that I can remember to do it. And you want to squeeze in and hold for about 5 to 10 seconds. And then over time, you want to increase and go from 25 up to 30, up to 40, up to 50, and then increase the time that you hold it for just to strengthen your Kegel muscles. And that really helps you last longer with women because you can control yourself and you have your, I forget what the muscles are called, the pemuscular something muscle that makes it, you know, you last longer. You're not as sensitive. It makes you last longer in bed. And also another technique for, this is what I know of lasting longer in bed, is just stopping and starting. So you don't have to, you know, you can calm down and slow down. So if you feel yourself like you're about to come, you stop, you slow down, you pleasure a woman for a couple of minutes, then you go back to you. Then if you feel it coming on strong again, then you slow down again. Those are my ways of advising on how to last longer. But I would love to hear what you have to say.
First of all, I'm so, like, happy and educated in this moment because I do those exercises too. And I didn't know that men could do them. So
yeah.
This is, so I'm going to have to go on askmen.com and check out your video, number one. I'm excited. I love your videos. I watch them and your MSN ones too. Like, they're really good. And your articles on your website.
Oh, I love it. Sure. Good. Okay, good. We're both fans. We're fans of each other. I love it.
It's a mutual admiration society right here.
Exactly. I know.
For sure. I like the stop and start method. I like that. I like when guys kind of just like, I don't like the rushing jackhammer thing anyway. I mean, some people want to be fucked and that's awesome. But like, I do like the start and stop thing. I like when guys kind of massage you. Like if they're from behind and they kind of stop and like massage you or just start like working your clit and that kind of thing. Like if they're dicks inside you, but they're not moving it, that's also really, really sexy to me.
I agree.
I'm getting really turned on right now. I need to like get back into my brain. Hence, getting into your body versus being in your brain.
Exactly.
I need to make
funny.
A call after this.
You're so funny.
Anyway, so yes, I think lasting longer is. I think also if you can jerk off before you have sex, like an hour before you have sex, that's probably a good thing
if
too.
If you know that you have a history of not lasting as long, then yes, definitely. Because I always say don't go fully loaded into a date.
No,
because it's just you're just gonna be over eager and excited, and it's just easier if you masturbate before you go on your date. But if that's only if you have concerns about not lasting that long. That's
it's
my
so
advice.
Slow, and also you can go down. You can stop and go down on a woman as well and just kind of stroke yourself to keep yourself hard.
Yeah.
You can kiss and like, I mean, there's lots of different ways. I would say just take it slow and go with your natural body, the instincts of your body. Like, I love the thing about not going fully loaded. I completely support that. I think that's really important, both in your behavior, because if you're really crazy horny, like you're like a caged animal, you know?
Right, exactly. Like you're letting me out. Yeah. Exactly. You're going to explode all over her. It's going to be horrible.
Just
if you do it too quickly.
If you want to use... I love that. And also, like, I think if you need to use Viagra or Cialis, then use it. Like, I don't think there should be any issue, like, of having a problem with that. Don't use too much. I've been with guys that, like, I don't know if you've ever slept with a guy that took, like, too much.
No, but I've actually never been with a guy who's taken any.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I like to go for a while, so I don't mind, like, if somebody does. But if somebody took too much, like, there's this weird artificial thing where like they're kind of not connecting with me and they're like not in their body as much. I don't know. I can feel, but I'm really sensitive. So like I can feel the lack of intimacy. If you want to just take like a fourth or a half or something like that, that's cool.
Okay.
I think cause then you can last a little longer and you're still connected.
Yeah. Not like 8 hours. Cause I know that for me, like I 45 minutes, unless it's like an amazing time that we're having, like 45 I guess now because I'm married. That's like so sad for me. But like, yeah, I don't typically like to go that long because I will get dry sometimes and it can hurt me after a while. And then I get into my head when I get like really, when it starts to hurt me a little bit. So yeah, I wouldn't want to go for like 4 hours, but I've never explored tantra or any of that stuff. So maybe, I don't know. I actually don't know. I don't know my answer on that one, about how I feel about that. I have to think about that for a second. But yes, I think we answered how to last longer in bed very well. And I'm going to wrap up this call right now because we're just getting to about an hour and a half. But I wanted to thank you, honestly, for being so open and honest and helpful. And you are a fantastic sensuality expert. And if guys want to find out more about you and get in touch with you, do you want to let them know where to go and where to get the information on you?
Sure. I want to say one more thing.
What
one more thing.
Okay, yeah.
If somebody, like, finishes kind of fast, like... I don't mind as much if we hang out for like a half hour and then he gets hard again and we go for like round two.
Oh,
so like, don't freak out if you're a guy. And, yeah, like that's super fun. So don't worry if you like lose it too soon. Like just hang out with her for a little bit and then she'll probably be up for a round two.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's the thing. I'm ready to go again typically. So like give me a 10-minute break and I'm usually ready to go again. And I don't mind stopping and starting. It's like it's still that whole experience. If you want to stretch it out for longer, then that's absolutely amazing. So I agree with you.
No, I totally agree. I mean, ordering Chinese food, like whatever you want to do, because like I like what you said to you about the marathon thing. It's fun sometimes, but other times like you just get sore and you're kind of like, all right, I'm ready.
Yeah, but if you like fool around a little bit, do a couple of things, and then you like exactly get your Chinese food, hang out on the couch, then digest, and then start again, like. That's so much fun because you can have it last the entire night, but have breaks in between where you're literally putting your clothes back on or putting your underwear back on, going back, sitting out on the couch, watching TV, you know, playing around with each other. Oh, I love that. That's my ideal night. That actually is my ideal night. To tell
yes,
you
absolutely. Catch up on your Dexter, whatever you need to do.
Exactly. And then go have sex. It's wonderful. Perfect. All right. Well, thank you.
Okay, so my website, I'll give you my website, and you guys can absolutely come check out what I do. I have some modeling on there. I'm going to be doing a big burlesque performance on New Year's Eve with the Toledo Show. So lots of sexy stuff coming up. It is my name. It's daradejour.com, and it's daraha-dejour.com. And I'm on Facebook, too, so... the link is on my website. You can add me and just let me know that you met me through Marnie and you heard, you know, our convo, and it's all there. So thank you so much. Thank you guys for listening.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much.